Hi, this is Erin from Fit Bottomed Girls.
Hi,
this is Fit Bottomed Girl Jen.
Hi, this is Fit Bottomed Girl Kristen.
Hi, this is Fit Bottomed Girl Margot.
You are listening to the podcast that will not only help you to keep a lid on the junk in the trunk, but will also help inspire you to live a happy, healthier life full of confidence.
Each episode, we talk about current events and our favorite articles from the sites. Plus, we chat with experts in food, health, nutrition, meditation, fitness, and more.
If you've been looking for that one podcast that will make you laugh as you learn more about yourself, well, then welcome to the Fit Bottomed Girls podcast.
Welcome back to the Fit Bottom Girls podcast. This is Fit Bottom Girl Margot. And today on the line, we have Jennifer.
Hello.
And we have Kristen.
Hey.
And I think it was Kristen and I today, a couple of weeks ago, we talked to Kristen McGee, who's going to be our big interview for this episode. And Kristen, you are a big fan of Kristen, aren't you?
I'm a huge fan. She didn't know this, but she and I have been hanging out in my living room for years because I love her DVDs. She's got great workouts. And in fact, I think her yoga DVD was the first one that I actually convinced my husband to do alongside me because she's great at cueing. She's just like fun to do that with. So yeah, I was super pumped about this one.
I got to meet her a few months ago at an event, and there was a stand up paddleboard yoga. It was at Chelsea Piers and was on sand. So it was sort of to mimic the water, you know, to try it out on the stand-up paddle board yoga, SUP yoga class, excuse me. And all the students are kind of following along and doing the routine. And then she's just started doing her own little poses. And I didn't realize that she was pregnant at the time, by the way. You never would have been able to tell. She was doing all these like amazing poses, and she's so beautiful and then so nice and normal.
Yeah.
And yeah, she was very, very cool. It was really fun to talk to her. She was in Montana, I believe, and it was Idaho. Where is she from?
She was from Idaho.
Idaho, and her brother was getting married. And so here she has this big family event. She's pregnant, her brother's getting married. All these just wonderful things were happening. And so we managed to get her to sneak a little bit of time. She had to find a corner of the house that everybody's staying in to talk to us. And she was great. She was just really fun. So I guess my question for you guys today is, what is your yoga practice? What do you try to follow? Jen, you want to go first?
Sure. I used to have a great yoga practice that would be like, you know, twice a week, usually in my living room, had some of my favorite DVDs, some of my favorite poses and stuff. And then now my yoga practice is not as regimented. It's a little bit more in the flow of life, which last night was my daughter Gwen has been obsessed with yoga mats. Like obsessed with, she wants me to lay them down, create like a runway of yoga mats, and she'll run like back and forth on them over and over again. And then she'll also do down dog and like put a leg up. So in the evening, it's adorable. If you Snapchat at Fit Bottom Girl, I try to snap it every once in a while. It's the cutest thing. In the evening when she gets really, really rambunctious, she gets the zoomies, kind of like a puppy would right before bed, just to burn off energy. That's what she does. So I lay out the yoga mats. She runs around, and then I'm like, okay, let's do down dog. You know, put your leg up. And then I've been trying to teach her plank and some other poses. But that's pretty much been my practice, has been toddler insane yoga. But it's been fun. It's not, I would say, maybe the most relaxing as I would want from my usual yoga. But it's definitely joy and giggle inducing. So no complaints.
Very, very cool. And what is yours, Kristen?
Kind of like Jen, at one point in time, I was really good about getting some yoga in pretty much every day. And I'm not doing quite as well with that these days, but I would say usually at least two or three times a week, I go through at least a bit of flow at home. And I actually just this past Saturday bought a package of classes at a studio nearby because I realized like, I really don't push myself at home the way I do when I'm, you know, being watched, I guess.
Totally.
Not that I think I'm being judged. That's not what yoga's about. But, you know, just having someone there to kind of encourage me to try some poses that maybe at home I would be like, oh, that looks a little hard. I'm going to just child's pose it. But we have a really cool thing here that Jen actually got to do with me this spring. Every full moon here in Sarasota on Siesta Key Beach, we have an instructor who shows up and she does a full moon yoga flow class right around sunset. Like we get started as the sun is just going down under the horizon. And it's just for, you know, like you make a donation. And it's awesome because it's
so,
you know,
awesome.
Yeah, like doing
sounds
it.
Sounds amazing. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, doing it, doing yoga on the sand is certainly more challenging than just doing it, you know, at home on a mat, but you get so much like, and it's a really nice mix too of hippity dippity and no, actually try to, you know, try to do this balance pose or try to get into crow. So it's kind of perfect. So I really look forward to that every month, but we've gotten rained out for like 2 months in a row. So I'm.
Oh yeah. You've been getting a lot of rain down there.
Yes. Oh, that's Florida in the summer.
So I've been trying to get more hot yoga into my routine because I do so much cycling and so many exercises that are lateral. I'm not lateral, excuse me, vertical, that I started trying to take these yoga classes. It's a little bit out of the way. It's in Too Cool for School Williamsburg. I got to figure out a way to get them someplace not on a G train, but I thought that I would not be able to handle it. I thought, oh, it's just going to be too hot. I hate being too hot, but there is something to say about getting that sweat going that you do hold those poses better.
Yeah.
And it also just gets you out of the routine. Cause if I do yoga at home, and I do like to do yoga at home, but like you said, I don't really challenge myself probably as much as I should or hold it as long as I should. So I really do benefit from that too. So I really love yoga, but my next question for you guys is yoga about mind or body or is it both? Like for me, it's like half and half. Sometimes it's about mind and sometimes it's about the body. What's it like for you? You go first, Jen.
Yeah. I feel like it's best when it's about the mind and the body for me. Like there are definitely some times where I want something just kind of chill, but if I don't want to move at all, then I'll just kind of meditate. And then I really don't look to yoga to like, I don't know, like I know like power yoga can build muscles and everything, but the kind of yoga I really like is more flowing, is more when you can just get in tune with your breath and really relax. And we always talk about on Fit Bottom Zen, like get in your flow, find your flow. It's just where everything, like all your worries are kind of gone and you're just in the moment. That's really the yoga that I love. And I have tried a little bit to get that. Like by incorporating into a warm up before I like do like a high intensity workout, I try to do like 2 minutes of that. It kind of helps.
What about you, Kristen?
It really varies. I think just depending on what it is, I feel like I need that day. A lot of times I think in class, unless it's a class that's really geared toward being very much of the mind connection, a class tends to be a lot about the body for me because it's pushing me outside my physical comfort zone. That doesn't mean that I'm not like breathing and connecting and doing all of that, but I do that with running and with a lot of things too. And then at home, a lot of times my practice will be a little bit more mindful and it'll be more about, you know, getting into those poses and holding it. But I actually really like, you know, Jen, you were talking about changing things up before like a high intensity workout. Mm-hmm. I like putting on some like, you know, rock or, you know, some like gangster rap or something, like something with like a solid beat that's just like makes you want to move. Beastie Boys is actually great for it, as it turns out.
I like that.
Yeah, I'll just do like my own like vinyasa flow going through and you just stay on the beat. And kind of regulates your breathing, maybe not as slow and mindful as it would be if you were doing it to like Yanni, but it gives it a really different feel without even changing up, you know, the physicality of what you're doing. Just all of a sudden you're in a different mindset. You're in a different movement. And before you know it, like, I mean, I'll do that for 15 minutes and I will be a sweaty, exhausted mess. So give that a try the next time you're trying to mix things up.
I bet Gwen would love to do our nightly yoga to like Sabotage. I can just see that.
Hell to the yeah.
Right?
Is she hip to Beastie Boys?
She's hip to everything. We play anything in our house, like anything and everything. Yeah.
I'm a big true crime buff. I don't know why. I get this from my mother. I watched way too many Lifetime TV movies when I was growing up. So I'm totally into that stuff. But sometimes I'm listening. I'll come home from teaching spin or something and I'll just put on one of my true crime podcasts and just go through some yoga poses. And I learn, you know, more about the JonBenet Ramsey case or I learn more about the Brinks robbery or something like that. Like that for me, sometimes I just sort of get in like that, you know, like a little bit of information mixed with my yoga. And for some reason it relaxes me. So whatever works for you, I think just go for it.
it. Yeah. So people
you
can
do
start
you.
Doing yoga right now. People can start doing yoga right now to us.
Yeah. Just listening to us. It can be very relaxing for them.
That's right.
I love it.
Nice deep breath, y'all.
You've got this. You don't know what yoga is. It can be anything.
Get the foot up higher. You go for it. Okay, so are there any yoga poses that you find challenging? For me, and I did ask this of Kristen, it's that dreaded crow pose because I'm really worried about smashing my face trying to do it. So which poses do you find challenging?
Yeah, I can like do crow for like a millisecond. But I kind of enjoyed the challenge of that one. The one that I don't know why I have such a hard time with, but extended side angle. Like, I don't know if it's because I have short arms or what happens, but I get in that side and I try to go over and it is just all kinds of uncomfortableness, no matter how like correctly I'm doing it. So that's when I love my yoga blocks.
Yeah, yoga blocks are amazing. Yoga blocks and yoga straps.
Yeah.
Those are like the greatest inventions ever.
Yes, they are.
What about you, Kristen?
Well, I mean, I don't want to brag, but like my crow is pretty on fleek. I mean, I'm not going to hold it forever and I don't have a side crow yet, but like I can hold it for a while. But basically anything that requires flexibility of the hamstrings or hips is just crap. Half moon. Is the worst. Like there is nothing in my life that I try to do that is worse than that. It is a disaster. I don't give up on very much, but there aren't enough yoga blocks in the world to like stack up and make this a manageable pose for me.
Sometimes life doesn't give you enough yoga blocks, does it?
No.
That's hilarious. So I guess we were talking about this before, but what are your favorite? I mean, what do you get from working out at home, like DVDs and streaming versus taking classes? Like, which do you prefer more? Or does it just depend on the day?
For me, it totally depends on the day. I love, like, I wish I had more time to go take a class because there's no way at home I'm going to do like a full hour, 90 minutes of yoga. If I do like 20 or 30 minutes at home, I feel really great. But there is something really, it's just really awesome about being in a class and really focusing and kind of, it's almost like you get a massage. Like it's almost like what it feels like when I come out, like that kind of zen producing feeling that I love, but I do that very rarely. So I'm more likely at home.
Well, you have a kid now.
With Gwen. Yep. Yep.
And what about you, Kristen? Like what are your favorite DVDs? I mean, in addition to Kristen, of course, in addition to Kristen again.
Oh, well, so I love her. A lot of the Element ones are great. I think that there are several Element DVDs with Rodney Yee, who is amazing.
Rock star. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I saw him. Or,
thumbs up.
Yes. I did a class with him at Yoga Journal Live last fall and it was just like, it was almost too much. Like I almost fangirled. And then, for beginners, I think that Yoga Works, I don't know if they're still making them, but they're great. They do a really, really lovely job of not only describing the poses ahead of time, but telling you, you know, common mistakes to watch out for and how to adjust for them. And that's where, you know, cause to me, like, I love the idea of going to a class and just knowing this is my time and, you know, nothing in the world is really going to change that much if I'm focused here or if I'm thinking about other things. So I may as well just focus my attention in class versus if I'm at home 20 minutes in, I'm thinking that I probably should be doing dishes or something. But I think that it's really important for people who haven't done a decent amount of yoga and don't have a good feel for the poses that come easily or are challenging for them. I think you have to go to some in-person classes with an instructor who is willing to give you some good positive feedback. And it used to freak me the heck out when they would come around and like touch me.
Oh, adjust you?
Adjust me. Yeah. I hated it, you guys. Oh my gosh. I used to freak out so badly. And, now I'm just like, no, please, like, just like climb on top of me and maneuver whatever you need to do, because that's how I've gotten the feel for what these poses are supposed to be. Otherwise, how do you do it at home, right?
It depends on the instructor. Rodney Yee is incredible. Do you know Elena Brower?
Yeah, oh yeah, she's great.
She's amazing. I just flashed on this in my head. Last year or 2 years ago in Brooklyn, they had a yoga day, the Wanderlust Festival.
Yes.
And I got to go on behalf of Fit Bottom Girls, and I went up to Elena and said, hey, I'm Margo with Fit Bottom Girls, and she gave me the warmest hug right away. Like she totally knows who we are. We got to get her on the show.
You know, I was thinking that. And then have you guys ever, I've talked to Shiva Rhea before.
Oh, yes.
She is like the coolest person ever. She's so authentic and so real. And that's actually her name.
Like, she is a goddess.
Yeah, she is.
Oh, she's so cool. Oh, that's great. Okay, cool. Well, great. So today we're going to be, like I said, everyone, it was Kristen and I talked to Kristen McGee. This is the interview we're doing right now. And in this interview, she announced that she's pregnant with twins, which is so sweet and so incredible. And if you, and we'll give you her call outs during the interview, but you have to follow her on Instagram. Oh, she's just incredible. Yeah. She's
doing her poses with her big like twin bump. It's so cute.
So inspiring.
It's awesome.
All right, everyone. So here we go. The interview with Kristen McGee. Bye. Hi, everyone. So today's interview is so much fun. It's Kristen McGee. She's our guest today. She's a celebrity yoga and Pilates instructor. She's a mom of a three-year-old. Can we announce now that you're pregnant with twins?
Yes, of course you can.
Yay! And she hosts a popular series of yoga DVDs. Kristen is actually on the line with me. She's a big fan of you, Kristen. Oh. And you have several digital downloads available on your site right now, mm-hmm. KristenMcGee.com. So, Kristen, why don't you say hi to everybody?
Hello. It's great to be here, and thank you so much for having me, Margot and Kristen.
Yeah, Kristen is based in Florida, and you do watch her DVDs, correct?
I do. This is actually so exciting for me because, Kristen, you don't know this, but we're really good friends already. You hang out in my living room with me all the time, and you make me feel like I can do really amazing things with my body, and I just appreciate that so much. So if I get a little bit geeky, just forgive me because it's just exciting to, like, be talking to you in real life instead of just talking to you through my TV, which, you know, you only respond sometimes, understandably.
Thank you so much for saying that.
I got to watch Kristen recently at a yoga, SUP yoga event, and Kristen was just doing these amazing poses on the board. It was, like, truly just magical. So, guys out there, she is the real deal. So, Kristen, I have my first question for you. So, first of all, congratulations.
Okay.
When did you find out you were expecting twins?
I found out towards the end of April, and I had Timothy, who's now, he just turned 3, July 31st, and I always knew I wanted at least one more because I thought it'd be great for him to have a sibling. But my husband and I, you know, we live in a pretty small apartment on the Upper West Side in Manhattan, and when he found out we were having twins, he was like, oh, my gosh. That's about having another one regardless. But then I got him on board with, oh, come on, let's just have one more. And then all of a sudden it became two more. But we are all very, very, very excited. And Timothy now knows that there's two babies in my belly. He thinks I'm going to get really big and pop soon.
And you're with your family right now in Idaho, right? You're going to a wedding?
My extended family. So my parents, my older brother, his wife, and my older brother's daughter. My older brother started the opposite end of me. He started very young, married his high school sweetheart, and now his two children are 22 and 23. And his 23-year-old is getting married on Saturday.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. They must be so excited right now, everything that's going on in your family.
So excited. And she's marrying a wonderful boy. He's from London. And so his entire family is here from London, and this is their first time ever, you know, in the western part of the States. So they're going to do the Grand Canyon after the wedding, and they're going to see Vegas and all of the different parts of the country out west. So it's really neat for them.
Oh, that's exciting. Now, are you going to wear a fascinator since there's like a London contingent there?
Oh.
Because I would. But that wasn't my real question. What I actually want to know is, with Timothy, does he get in there and do yoga with you? And if so, do you have any recommendations for our listeners who have kids to get their kids to try yoga with them?
Well, he just knows that mommy loves to do yoga, and he sees me doing it so often that it piques his curiosity, and he has his own little mat. So I always think it's good for parents to invest in a little product for your child. So if you're a tennis player, get them a little tiny tennis racket. If you're a yogi, get them their own little yoga mat, and it makes them feel really special. And so he loves to get his own little yoga mat out and set it next to me. And sometimes he'll only last 5 minutes, and halfway through my practice, he might be jumping on me or crawling underneath me while I'm in downward dog, or mommy, come on, let's do this now. No more yoga. But at least every time I do it, he does get involved. He is engaged. He's excited. he's practicing his down dog, and he calls it his peeing dog, where he lifts his one leg. He'll do little warrior poses with me. And I just think as long as you make it fun, and then when it does get to be a little too long for him, and obviously, you know, he's not going to stay on his yoga mat for a half hour, an hour, then I'll stop what I'm doing and we'll go do something else. And then I'll do my own practice at another time. But I like to see, I like for him to see me in action and to get involved and to do it with me.
So how is this practicing yoga different when you're pregnant versus when you're not pregnant? I mean, this is your second time and it's different because you have twins, you know, just for women who want to incorporate yoga while they're pregnant, you know, prenatal yoga, what is your advice for them?
Oh, I highly recommend prenatal yoga for every expecting mom. Even if the nice thing about prenatal yoga as well is even if you haven't practiced yoga in the past and you find a good teacher who can show you just basic general prenatal poses, anyone can do it. So it's not like a more active sport or horseback riding or something that you don't want to pick up once you become pregnant. Yoga is the opposite, where you can pick it up at any point. And what's so great about yoga is the mind-body connection and the breath work. So when I think mom was my first time, my first pregnancy, everything was so new to me and there was some anxiety involved at certain stages and so much uncertainty and there's so many changes happening that have never happened before, that yoga really helped me connect to my body and just be with what was going on and feel everything that was happening and make it a really great experience. So as opposed to fighting the fatigue or the nausea or the anxiety, I just accepted it and learned to breathe into it and make it part of the experience. And with Timothy, with the singleton, it was very easy for me to do everything. I was doing headstands up until my ninth month and practicing Pilates the day of his delivery, like the day in the evening I went into labor. But that day I had taught a couple yoga classes and did a Pilates practice of my own. And then I went into labor that evening. And I think yoga is so great during the laboring process and during the delivery process because, again, you can tap into the breath, you can stay grounded, you can be in the moment, and the yoga poses help open up the hips, help strengthen the lower half of the body, help us feel strong and supported. And then also it's just a great way to restore yourself. So there's so many beautiful restorative poses you can do in yoga that helps the mind and body relax and release. With twins, it's been a little different. Not only do I have two inside me, so it's making my pregnancy, the first trimester, my hormones were really high. So I got a lot sicker than I had ever been with Timothy. And there was a lot of days when I just could barely, you know, I just would go and do my job and teach. And then I would want to just lie down or play with Timothy as best as I could. But I find my breathing is a little more labored. So I'm really trying to take my practice and slow it down and work on the breath work. I think maybe just having two in there and the placement in the ribs and all of that. But I'm still able to do a majority of the poses. And I really just listen to my body and stop if it doesn't feel good. And I think, I mean, I would love to ideally try and deliver naturally again like I did with Timothy. But with twins, they have to be just the exact perfect position. If the first twin doesn't have their head down, it's impossible to do vaginal delivery. So we'll see how it goes. I just think with twins, it's a little, you know, my doctors are like, well, I just want you to be a little more careful. Take it easy. I don't feel like I can do as intense of workouts as I used to when I was pregnant with Timothy.
Well, it sounds like you're being really smart about it. And it makes me wonder, do you have any other ways aside from yoga and tapping into the breath that you are both mentally and physically preparing for bringing two new children into your world?
Very good question. Family support. I mean, it's very nice to be with my family out here in Idaho because we're all talking about different ways that, you know, okay, my mom's going to come out in the beginning and then my sister-in-law can come for a while and my mother-in-law can come for a while, you know, and so there's all these different, you know, resources of family members that make me feel very safe and secure and supported. And then I also am a part of a mom's group in Manhattan, an Upper West Side mom's group. And I've reached out to other women on the group who posted about having twins themselves. So talking to other women who have already been there, done that, gone through the experience of having twins, getting great advice from them. It's really helpful because I think the more prepared you are and the more you know, the easier it is and the better I feel going into it. Obviously, I think with kids, there's never any certainty, and there's also going to be a lot of just many sleepless nights and learning as I go. But I think for the most part, having a community that's really supportive and being able to reach out to other people who can give me advice and talk to me about what they've gone through is really helpful. I just connected with another pregnant. She's out in LA, pregnant with twins. It's her first pregnancy, but she's due any day now. And it was funny because she said, I've gained 70 pounds and I don't know what to do. And another friend who said the same thing with twins, she gained like 60 plus pounds. And I was noticing the same thing. I was starting to worry with Timothy. I felt like I was in really good shape. And this time around, I'm just like, hand me the fried ice cream. Hand me the, no, I'm feeling like I'm eating more than I have. So I'm trying to stay active and fit and healthy, but I definitely think with twins, you have to eat for.
So just taking it back to the beginning, like how did you begin your yoga practice? What sparked that interest in you?
Oh my gosh. I grew up out in Idaho and I'd always been dancer, theater person. And I moved to New York for NYU acting school. It was in acting school that they started teaching us yoga. And this is in the 90s, early 90s, mainly for centering. And again, the breath work, supporting the breath, supporting our voice, being able to stay in the moment on stage. Yoga and like live theater are both very immediate and intimate and right in the moment. So the yoga training was great for the theater. And when I graduated, I certified to teach, not wanting to wait tables as I pursued my acting career. And then one thing led to another where I just kept getting more opportunities to teach more classes. I was then hired to do the MTV yoga video series, started working privately with people, and my yoga career just kept taking off. And I realized, you know, this is where my passion is. This is what I really love. And I've just been so blessed, I think, that I discovered it so many years ago. I've been doing yoga now almost 20 some odd years and being able to share it with people. And I find that I love the fact that yoga keeps booming and more people want to keep learning yoga and getting involved. And I'm like you mentioned the SUP earlier, stand-up paddling yoga. I don't mind even the hybrids or anything like that. I just think the more the merrier.
That's excellent. Now, Margot touched on this earlier, but your Instagram feed is everything. And you guys, it's at Kristen McGee, and that's Kristen with an I, which is worth noting because mine is not. But it's so inspiring. And so when you are choosing a spot for one of those fantastic pictures, mm-hmm. I'm just curious, like how often is it that you see the spot and you think, ooh, that's a spot for pictures? And how often do you look at it and think, ooh, that's a spot where I really want to practice, and then the picture comes there?
I think it's a combination of both. There's times when, especially being home in Idaho, I love waking up in the morning and going out and doing it in our backyard where it's just you hear the crickets chirping and there's ducks down on the pond and it's just the perfect peaceful environment and it feels so natural and beautiful. And then my mom and dad might come out and I'll say, oh, hey, you know, take a picture of me while I'm out here doing this, because it's just such a perfect backdrop and landscape. It's gorgeous. And then I also just like to do the juxtaposition when I'm in New York and show people that, you know, there's a picture of me that I posted recently. I worked with a photographer and he's starting an Instagram feed called Yoga and the City. And I think it's neat to show how you can stay calm amongst the storm. So doing tree pose in the middle of Manhattan traffic, Central Park West is one of the pictures he posted of me. And I think that's really neat, too, to show the contrast of, you know, there's the peaceful nature and you can do yoga at the beach and yoga in the mountains and yoga in a picturesque, beautiful place. But you can also do yoga when there's crazy chaos going around. And many times that's realistic. So I like to show, you know, me doing yoga at home in my apartment with Timothy running around and bouncing on top of me. Or like I said, yoga in Manhattan where it's not always going to be completely calm and quiet, but you use your breath and you use your focus to find that meditative quality amongst all the craziness.
So what was that first difficult pose you remember mastering when you were starting out?
Oh, and headstand was actually an easier pose for me. It's funny because my mom can still do headstands really easily as well. So maybe that was just kind of a genetic gift that I got. But it was, and I was able to do full scorpion balance and master that balance of the back bend, really getting that huge arch in the upper back and in the, and using the core to support myself on my forearms and then touch my toes to my head. That was pretty magical. I was like, wow, I can't believe I can do this.
Now, do you do any other workouts besides yoga and Pilates?
Yes, I like to, being from Idaho, our entire family are huge skiers. So every winter I come home and ski as much as I possibly can. I absolutely love to ski. I've been skiing since I was like 5 or 6 years old. I love to play tennis, which isn't as easy to do in Manhattan as it is when I'm just out here. I like to walk everywhere in New York. I like to hike. I love a lot of outdoor activities, and I don't mind the, you know, every now and then I like doing some resistance training. I think it feels good. And especially with, I was talking to my friend who's a great personal trainer, especially with having twins. She was saying it's really good for you to get, you know, strong as you can in your lower body and your upper body, not only for holding, carrying the twins while you're pregnant, but also being able to, you know, do all the activities with the both of them once they come.
Oh, absolutely. You're going to need that upper body strength
for sure.
For two of them.
Yeah. And I what I like about in yoga, a lot of the extra, like the movement is elongating and it's like eccentric movement and it's more pressing movement as opposed to concentric or pulling. So I think it's nice to have the balance where with the weights or if you use a TheraBand, you're pulling the muscles and you're really using your back muscles and squeezing your lats and things like that. Are great because it's the opposite of all those chaturangas that we push through when we're in yoga class.
So I going back to difficult poses, the one that is just like my bête noire is the crow pose. I really want to master the crow pose. I have this fear of smashing my face. So do you have any advice for me?
Oh, you're so cute. And I wish I could work with you privately because I could so help you into crow. I think, so first of all, you really have to think about the scoop of the lower abdominals. So when you're in downward dog, practice, you know how you lift your leg in the air and you pull your knee up to your armpit mm-hmm. and you kick your leg back? Practice those a lot. Like practice really pulling your knee all the way up to your armpit as high as you can and scooping out those lower abs because that's the lift you're going to need to get your feet up off the floor. And then you won't feel like you have so much weight in your arms and you're just going to crash forward into your face.
Mm-hmm.
So the higher you can get your knees, the easier it is. If you're not balancing on your triceps or your upper or the back of your arm, but if you're more in your armpit area, like the knee fits the armpit perfectly, like a ball in a mitt. So you can put blocks under your feet and stand on the blocks and then crouch into your squat. And then you have the elevation to get your knees high up in your armpits and then just put pillows in front of your face. You know, because really worst case scenario, you're going to probably fall to the side before you would do a full face dive or you'll catch yourself. It's just more of the mental fear.
Mm-hmm.
But if, and then really concentrate on scooping in those lower abs and using the abs to lift your feet. Practice boat pose as well to get the core strong. And then a lot of that kind of plank and bird dog and the knee to the elbow when you're in down dog split.
Thank you. I'm definitely going to do that.
I was going to say, as soon as we're off of this, I know what Margo's doing.
Going right to my living room and practicing.
Yes. Now, Kristen, what is the biggest misconception that you hear over and over about yoga or the biggest myth or misunderstanding?
I think a lot of it is when people just tell me I can't do yoga because I'm not flexible. And the flexibility is one part of the practice, but, you know, it's unfortunately and fortunately, Instagram's amazing and it's beautiful to see these people come into these striking poses, but it's become very contortionistic as well. So like yoga doesn't have to be contortionism and being able to just stand in mountain pose is yoga. Being able to activate your muscles mindfully and spread your feet into the earth and notice what's going on in your body and really use your breath and your mind to imagine your body taking the form that you want it to take is the yoga practice. And then, you know, learning how to use that breath on and off the mat so that you can stay steady and calm and centered when everything is, you know, in life is happening. And so one of my favorite teachers will always say,
the art of the yoga practice isn't to prevent the fall, just like you were talking about falling in your crow pose, but to learn how to bounce back. So we make our bodies strong and buoyant, flexible, and able to bounce back and recover quickly, because everyone's going to fall in life. It's inevitable. So I think the yoga practice gives us those kind of tools. And, you know, it's just a really great mindset to have, and it helps us with so many different aspects of our life. So I don't want people to think that it's just going in and becoming super, super Gumby or just stretching, because there is a lot more to yoga than that.
Yeah. So what do you think are the unique benefits of a regular yoga practice?
Well, first and foremost is the mindfulness. I think just getting more and more mindful when you're in a yoga practice and you're focusing on your breath and the instruction from the teacher or the way your body's moving or how your body is in a pose, that kind of mindfulness training is so important, especially nowadays with, you know, things just happen so quickly nowadays and we're so spread out. It's really nice to be able to find that space and that slowing down and centering. And then you get the strength because you're just using your own body to hold yourself in all these incredible poses. So you get that nice strength and muscle tone. You get the range of motion and the flexibility, which is super important, but it's also just learning how to use your joints properly. How to move properly so you're keeping your body safe and, you know, strong for a lifetime. You get the stress relief, better sleeping. You get that breath expansion, so you're breathing better, breathing more deeply. And then the focus, the concentration, all of those things. And then also it's a great complement to so many different sports that you do in life. You know, it's great for injury prevention and also for sports performance, because the more range of motion you have in a joint, the easier it is to throw a ball faster as a pitcher or to get full range of motion when you swing a golf club and all of those things. The core strength as well.
Now, Kristen, all of this has been so great, so exciting, so inspiring. I mean, I'm definitely going to a class tonight. And we have one more question for you that we ask all of our guests at the end of the interview. And that is, what was the last song you listened to before you joined us for our podcast?
Oh, the last song?
And it could be anything. We have gotten a wide range of answers.
No judgment.
It's the Uptown Funk song, because it was my niece's bachelorette party last night. And we went out to dinner, and then her little girlfriend's got like this party bus, and they had that Uptown Funk song going. And so we were all dancing to it and going crazy. And then I came home a little early and, you know, put my son to sleep. But so that was the last song I listened to last night. I haven't listened to any music yet this morning.
It's a good way to end it though. That's a great answer. Yeah. It's a great song. So. Well, why don't you give everybody your call outs? Like, tell them where they can find you and where they can get your digital downloads and all that
Thank
stuff.
Thank you. So it's KristinMcGee.com. And like you said, it's KristinMcGee.com. And on there is my downloads. And if you sign up for my newsletter, you get a free download. And then also I have a Pilates program on Kodi app. I have my DVDs in my store on my website as well, and also on Amazon. My Instagram handle is @KristinMcGee. My Twitter is @KristinMcGee, and my Facebook page is Kristen McGee Fitness.
YouTube, Kristen McGee.
Yep.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
No,
this was
you.
Amazing. And yeah, I'm going to run into my living room right now and practice my crow.
I know. Pictures of your crow. I'm so happy for you.
I definitely will.
Thank you.
All right.
Have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye. That's it for this episode of the Fit Bottom Girls podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. And if you like what you're hearing, feel free to subscribe to us on whatever platform you use to listen to podcasts. And if you love what you're hearing, yay, leave a few stars and a review. That would be amazing. Be sure to follow us on all of our social media channels for Fit Bottom Girls, Fit Bottom Zen, Fit Bottom Eats, and Fit Bottom Mamas. You just spell it all out and you will find us. Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Pinterest, Instagram. Believe me, you will find us. If you want to reach out to say hi, have a question about a recent episode or interview, feel free to email us at podcast@fitbottomgirls.com. And if books and movies are also your thing, check out the other podcast I co-host called Book vs. Movie, which you can find anywhere where you search for podcasts. Thank you so much once again for dropping by. And remember, a life filled with laughter is a life well lived. Bye.